Welcome back to Sharp Elbows. My name is Zadal Makashvi, and you're listening to Sharp Elbows with Francesca Hung. And we're so excited to talk to you guys. I know these past 2 weeks have been a little bit crazy, and I think for many Americans, as well as us. And I hope we can get Wisconsin on the road to recovery. We were just talking about COVID relief, because there are so many other points of tension also that we have to, you know, focus on. The fact that we're dealing with a virus that's taken so much for us already, and then we have to deal with a fascist president, as well as an unstable democracy, I think is kind of incredible. And I'm positive that we weren't meant to go through so much in 1 year, and 2021 seems to be going on in the same crazy direction as the last one. So kind of wanted to go out federally for a little bit and talk about, I think, what's going to become one of the most, you know, historical moments of my lifetime, which was the coup attempt. It was a coup, right? That happened in our nation's capital. And I think that woke many people up to the reality of where our country is at the current moment. And really the bad aspect of where the United States is politically. And it's not a pretty reality. And so I was wondering, Francesca, what were the emotions running through your head on the 6th? I know that, you know, so many people in the Capitol were really, really hit hard to see the white supremacist insurrectionist storm the Capitol.
I think I was in awe. And I don't mean to say that with any sort of positive connotation. I think I was in awe that, you know, that's what I was witnessing from the Capitol from our Capitol building, right? And so immediately it went to fear that something like this could happen in Madison. And then I think I was in awe, but I wasn't asking a lot of the questions that I think so many people did, which was, how could this happen here? I think the impact of this presidency has that it is one of exacerbating and revealing what has been happening in our communities at different levels, which is, existing in white supremacist institutions and having whiteness having very much invaded our lives, not, you know, as directly. I think the level of impact varies from community to community, but I wasn't shocked. I think I was mostly thinking that, you know, I hope no one dies. I hope that our representatives are safe. And, you know, I was actually thinking, like, so many people are gonna get COVID from this too. You know, like I was trying to think about lives, and but I wasn't so much shocked that it was happening. And it's difficult still to really figure out what that moment was like. I think it was paralyzing, and I don't like to use that word a lot, but it was.
Yeah, I understand that. And I, for me, as an immigrant, I immigrated to the U.S. from Sudan, Africa, when I was 6 years old. There was this immense feeling of dread, because when you come from somewhere where political instability and coups and you know, there's no democracy, what you see America as, no matter what your perceptions of the country are in regards to maybe the imperialism that it propagates, its proxy wars, is that this is a place that has a capital and a democracy and a power that, you know, isn't easily broken, right? Mm-hmm. And so to see our Congress people, you know, one of the most sacred places in our country, the Capitol building, being breached that easily right? It's not just about that specific instance or that insecurity of that specific event, but it's really, it's going to have a ripple effect. And so for me, I was incredibly worried that I would see, you know, the political instability that I've seen in Sudan that has happened in the past 2 years, because as much as revolution is great, this was nothing but fascism, correct? This was nothing but white supremacists that were undermining our election process, which is has its own problems, but it is democratic at its core and at its root. And so for me, I don't think I can ever explain the fear that like went through my body when I saw the images and the video clips of something that I never ever expected to happen. And so family members and friends from across the world in Sudan would call me and say, like, was this a Hollywood movie? Is this like a prank? Like, this is America. Like, this doesn't happen in the US. You know, you're with all the baggage that we have, we're still a shining light on the hill in terms of democratic order. And so I think when I look at that, and when I look at the Congress people, specifically Ron Johnson, Tiffany Fitzgerald, the congressman from Wisconsin, that are complicit in aiding the president in undermining the Constitution and the election, it kills me that people that, you know, are elected to serve aren't doing that, and in fact are going against the Constitution literally for the only purpose of maintaining their power. And so I don't know where we go from here, because it seems like they're not listening, or that they don't get it.
I think another, and not to add, like, to compound to these layers of fear, is that at least for me, sometimes I am in a place where I am unfazed by their willing and at what lengths they will go to hold on to power. I think, I don't know if it's because, you know, born and raised here or not, and some of the, I haven't always seen America as that exceptional, right? I think I've always questioned how our democracy can coexist with so much injustice. And I think for people like Steele and Gallagher, Tiffany, Johnson, Fitzgerald, they know that for their democracy to exist, these injustices have to coexist for them. So I think we're really at this reckoning of a shift in power structure, or at least a shake in the power structure that's being upheld by white supremacists. And they don't, you know, they don't, for them, it was a hit that, you know, what the more obvious displays of it, like a coup attempt, the flags, the blatant, you know, the Trump gear, for them, for it to be actualized and to be in so many other people's immediate reality through media, it's absolutely undermining their power and their idea of democracy that has been upheld by this. So where are they at now? You know, I'm not sure what all it's going to take to rebuild, because I think this is actually, for me, it's, I think, a shattering of the current democracy that's been upheld by injustice. And I hope that we can move to rebuild one that is one of justice, that is one of opportunity for more people, and that isn't upheld by, financial system and other institutions that create so much harm for so many people.
Your mic cut off a little bit, but I think we heard you. But for me, it's just crazy that white supremacy is our greatest crisis right now, and if we don't get a rein on it, you know, it's not going to end up well for everyone. And the sooner that we learn that I think the better that we're all going to be. And we'll talk more about specifically that white supremacy and that neo-Nazism, Nazism after the break. So we're going to take another one. You're listening to Sharp Elbows on 92.7 FM. Been going through the same thing that he has. True, I got more fans than the average man, but not enough loot to last me to the end of the week. I live by the beat like you.
Are you a small business owner or professional that would like to be featured in your own weekly Ask the Expert radio segment or Show and Devil radio? Let us help you in your business, team with our broadcast professionals, to create the right show or segment setting you apart as the go-to professional and as an expert in your field. All shows and sponsored segments are podcasted. It will be professional broadcast quality. Packages from $395. Call Devil Radio today at 608-819-TALK.
Hi, this is Dom from the Devil's Advocates inviting you to join us on Patreon.com. Patreon allows for our audience to access exclusive programming not available anywhere else and gives you the ability to directly support the greatest radio show ever. History's patrons have supported the works of Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Monet, and now with your support, the Devil's Advocates. So please go to Patreon.com and search the Devil's Advocates to pick your subscription. That's Patreon.com and the Devil's Advocates, the greatest radio show ever.
Saturday morning at 9 a.m., tune in for Ask the Builder and hear about projects that can be done to improve your space. Join me, Naomi Craw, and members of our team at Bachman Construction as we take calls from the community and share our family's three generations of experience.
Ask the Builder is Saturdays at 9 a.m.
Here's that song again. Yay! Here's that song again.
For the 100th time today.
Here's that song again.
It's gonna be stuck in your head all day.
Yay! Here's that song again.
It will make you cray cray.
You love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times. Yay! Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay, men, time to be an all-star caregiver. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Be there emotionally and physically. Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Stay informed with progressive news and talk on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM, McFarland's choice for essential radio.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to Sharp Elbows on 92.7 with me, Representative Francesca Hong.
And me, Nada Makashvi.
And Nada, I believe we have some callers on the line. We are going to start with Mike from Dussac. What's up, Mike?
Mark.
Oh, I think you mean Mark.
Mark, I'm sorry. Mark. Mark from Prairie Dussac. How are you?
Not a problem. I'm doing okay. I'm a little bemused by what happened last week. I guess it's 2 weeks ago now that it's pretty disgusting. And when you see, and for our politicians who have still refused to admit that this was a legitimate and fair election, that is part of what fueled this whole thing, because they've been saying that, you know, let's face it, Donald Trump was saying it, you know, back as far as 2016, that if he lost, it was not fair, but not a free and fair election. That, and it was kind of, you know, that, and it was typified, and perhaps I'm doing the man an injustice. I don't believe I am. But when Glenn Grothman came right out and said that, well, the reason we lost this election is because the Democrats sided with Black Lives Matter and, you know, to get out the vote, that's something to mean that, you know, Mr. Grothman likely believes that too many black people voted in this election, and that is pretty disgusting. That it was disturbing to me that, you know, during the protests last summer, the statue of Alexander Haig was torn down, that especially in the context, because people don't know the history that John Nichols has laid out, had some speeches I heard him out, that Alexander Haig was actually director of prisons prior to the Civil War here in the state of Wisconsin, and actually had directed his employees to take escaped slaves into protective custody and get them to the Canadian border so they could escape to true freedom prior to the Civil War because of the whole Fugitive Slave Act. that I don't think the people in the crowd, would have torn him down had they known, more of them would have known that history. It's sad, but I mean, that let's face it, here in the state of Wisconsin, we've got a class of Republican politicians who have purged out all their moderates that think it's okay to do whatever the heck you want to win elections. I mean, look at Scott Walker. He was violating state law until they got to the Supreme Court again and decided, well, that law is unconstitutional, and the Republican state, you know, changed the voting law as far as how you could coordinate with supporters. I mean, that it is just, you know, organizations that support you. I mean, it just is, though they will stop at no ends to win elections, and once they don't win an election, they think it was stolen from them. Well, it wasn't stolen. I mean,
I see exactly where you're coming from, Mark. I mean, I lost an election, and I didn't feel like staging a coup, right? There's just this idea that people whose power derives from stepping on others, who see equality and equity within Black, Indigenous people of color and those demographics as something that takes away their own power, you will have that power fight you back when people come out in record numbers to vote, correct? You know, what you see in Georgia, we really didn't get to celebrate that Georgia win because the quite disappointing and racist, event where they decided not to charge the officers that shot Jacob Blake 7 times in the back, you know, that happened, and we couldn't really celebrate the fact that Georgia had flipped blue and that the Senate had flipped blue because of Black voters. Yeah. And so when you have a Republican electorate, when you have Republican leadership that really has not served the people, they're going to get nervous when the people speak up, right? If it wasn't for the Electoral College, I think there's an argument to be made that Republicans, you know, don't really hold values or at least a platform that is reflective of the majority of Americans. And so I see that fear within those men that represents Wisconsin in Congress, and within the larger Republican leadership.
And they should be fear. And we should be giving much more credit to Black women organizers across this entire country who helped mobilize, engage, and empower voters to have something to vote for. I don't know if we've completely fulfilled that yet in engaging, people of color and rural voters on voting, on what they should be voting for. But that organizing and the work that these women have been doing for years, not just this past election, there needs to be credit given there. And I think that, these are folks who are afraid when they hear things like ranked choice voting or abolishing the Electoral College, but it's absolutely the direction we need to be moving if we're actually going to be representative of the people. We need to make voting Election Day a national holiday. We need to be implementing ranked choice voting, and we should absolutely be looking at abolishing the filibuster and the Electoral College.
Yeah.
That's for another show. We have another caller on the line. Welcome to Sharp Elbows.
Hi, am I on the radio?
Yes. Yeah. Hello.
Oh, hi. I was calling with a question. I'm wondering if you feel that the protection you have personally in the Capitol is enough. You know, what are they doing for you, and any special techniques that they're taking? And I was also wondering if they're considering any permanent changes to the building, you know, to make it more safe. I know these are technical, but I'm really curious, since you've been there, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, we were working in socially distanced safely the first week. And then after Wednesday, we were advised to work from home and leave the Capitol. There's been some threats to it, as well as capitals across the country. But we're lucky to have a Department of Administration and the governor's office really concerned about the safety of the building and taking, you know, great precautions for the surrounding areas in the Capitol. And so, you know, I do know that they are, the National Guard is stationed to make sure that things stay safe, as well as the Capitol Police in conjunction with the State Patrol. So I'm really, you know, happy with the precautions that have, you know, are being taken. But I also know that it's an unprecedented moment in American history, in Wisconsin history. So as much as I'd like to promise that everything's okay, I just think it's important that we all stay vigilant. I know I feel safe, and Fran does as well. But I think an important thing, and you reminded me, is that people need to understand that they should not go counter-protest this weekend. Mm-hmm. These are people that are Nazis. These are people that are white supremacists. And we've seen it happen in Kenosha. You know, people are out for blood in a very fascist, disgusting way. And so please stay at home. Please do not go out and counter-protest. And as someone who, you know, has been in the movement and in the Black Lives Movement and believes in the power of speaking up, this is not the moment for it.
And I would encourage folks to absolutely, echoing what Nada said, stay home. But if you are able to check in with your people, check in with a mutual aid group, you know, we can really respond to these acts of terror and violence by strengthening our communities. There are community fridges located throughout Madison, one on Mill Street, one on Johnson, that you can bring items to, you know, mutual aid groups, check in with pantries and any elderly in your area. It's important to make connection right now to really help overcome some of these fears and terrors that we're feeling, that rightfully so, but that we can combat by, you know, engaging in community.
Yeah. All right, well, we have about 5 minutes left, I think, but let's end on a more positive, funny note, maybe. I know that we have our segment, The Tweet That Got Away, coming up, and I want to take that over because I almost tweeted something so outrageous just because I was so happy to see that the NRA filed for bankruptcy.
Oh my gosh. I was wondering where your response was on that.
Well, I had tweeted in July. I wrote, when you're a candidate, you apply for the NRA endorsement, and I got an F grade. And so I tweeted, you know, F off, may you guys choke, amen. And then when I saw the fact that they actually did and they went bankrupt and they're hopefully no longer a thing, I thought it was incredibly funny and that maybe I had a little bit of a role to play. but who knows? All right, Fran, would you like to close this off with your recipe for the week?
Absolutely. So for those listening in, we are sharing a recipe every week as well on Sharp Elbows. And this week, this past Wednesday, was Korean American Day. So I thought I would share one of the most beloved Korean American dishes, which is the Korean barbecue or kalbi. Kalbi itself means the ribs. But I thought I would share my marinade with you. And this is something you can implement on a lot of different things. If you're not a meat eater, no problem. This is great on vegetables, just as you can use it to kind of glaze as you're cooking them. And we'll be posting this on our social media, so no worries if you're not getting this now, and it'll be on the Devil Radio website. The kalbi marinade, you've got a little soy sauce, water, quarter cup of sugar, brown rice syrup, or 2 tablespoons of corn syrup is fine, a quarter cup of rice wine vinegar, a quarter cup of red wine. This is what my mom always uses. And then what I like to add is about a half a can of Sprite or 7-Up, a couple tablespoons of sesame oil, a Korean pear if you can find one, rough chopped, a medium onion rough chopped, some garlic, a teaspoon of ginger and some scallions and black pepper. All you gotta do is with those rough chopped pear, onion, garlic, and ginger, blend that all up, either using a blender or in the food processor, combine it with all the other ingredients, and then marinate your short ribs, your spare ribs. You can use this on steak. Again, you can use veggies as well. Marinate it for 12-ish hours and then throw it on the grill. You'll see a little char. That's just the soy charring, but don't worry, that's flavor. If you're using a thicker cut, be sure to marinate for a little longer than 12 hours. The salt and the fruit and the sprites, that's all gonna help tenderize that meat.
Hell yeah.
You need on vegetables, you only need to use it for, you know, you only need to marinate it for a little bit, or just, you know, glaze it while you're cooking the veg.